Blog Talk Radio.
You are about to be entertained by the eighth, the young man who has become a legend in his own time.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
It's the Ron Kelly Show.
So don't get it twisted.
All right. Welcome, everybody. Welcome. It's Tuesday afternoon, and welcome. It's Ron Kelly's show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com and on the AMFM Broadcasting Network. Good to have you guys here today in what has been a splendiferous day, weather-wise at least, here in the New York metropolitan area. All right, you can follow the Ron Kelly Show on Twitter. It's at Ron Kelly Show. And on Facebook, it's the Ron Kelly Show. And on my Instagram, it's Radio Man 2. Nearly 800 likes last week with a promo about the show. So I need to say thank you, guys. Appreciate it. And the Ron Kelly Show audience grows and grows every week. Netherlands right now, but you know, it's growing in popularity, and you know, we all look forward to that. Hopefully I'll be on the net, be syndicated by then, and have internet as a sideline. But anyway, thanks so much, guys. Thanks for joining me this afternoon. It's Ron Kelly Show, Tuesday afternoon, 3 p.m. You know what time it is, so let's get this thing going. We got sound bites all queued up and ready to go for you, so let's get things started. Let me start with this. Now, there was a piece on 60 Minutes last week, Sunday. There was a piece on 60 Minutes about the public defender's office. New Orleans public defender's office is the most more people get arrested in New Orleans. I don't know if it's because of Mardi Gras or whatever the case may be, but more people get arrested in New Orleans than any place else in the United States of America. And so you can imagine that the public defender's office is probably the busiest in the country. Now, the people in New Orleans, there are not a whole lot of wealthy people in New Orleans. And like I spoke about last week on the program that, you know, it's justice for some, not justice for all, because, you know, if you have the money, you can get away with just about anything. So we have I have a soundbite from the 60 Minutes program from this past Sunday. We have the gentleman who is the Darwin Burton, who is the chief of the public defender's office, the chief public defender. And I'm going to play for you what he is saying about what's going on in New Orleans, because first of all, you have 52 lawyers in a public defender's office in New Orleans, 52. And these 52 lawyers have to defend 22,000 people. 22,000, so you can imagine how overwhelmed these people must be. So we're going to talk about that. We'll talk about Trump's sycophant, Jeffrey Lord, who compared, and I have a soundbite of that also, who compares Trump to Martin Luther King, and he gets ripped a new one on MSNBC. I'm looking forward to that. And Trump in North Korea, the saber rattling continues, and we'll talk about that as well, because we know something has to be done. We can't let North Korea just keep making these threats, because eventually they're going to have the ability to carry them out. So something has to be done. Now, what's the safest thing? Well, we don't know if there's anything that would be safe. We'll talk about that as well. Let me start with this. Let me start with the New Orleans Public Defender's Office. And the chief public defender, Delwyn Burton, was on 60 Minutes this past Sunday talking about what's going on in the public defender's office. Now, the public defender's office in New Orleans is actually They stopped taking capital cases, you know, murder, manslaughter, you know, armed robbery and such. They stopped taking those cases because they can't defend anybody. So here's what Delwyn Burton, who was the chief public defender of the New Orleans Public Defender's Office, the busiest public defender's office in the United States of America, here's what he had to say on 60 Minutes about his office.
I love golf, and I have some of.
No, that's not it.
Well, I think it's terrible. I think it's terrible. I don't think the Sixth Amendment to the Constitution really allows such a thing to happen. And I think it's terrible that we as leaders and as a community cannot see fit to have the resources so that we have a fair and just system, so that people caught in our criminal justice system, people who have been charged with crime, can't go through fairly and justly.
Derwin Burton, once again, who is the chief public defender in New Orleans, Louisiana, public defender's office, who has stopped taking capital cases. Now they had if you watched the show this past week, Sunday evening, 60 Minutes, they had a little town hall type of situation where they had 8 to 9 or so current and former New Orleans public defenders, some of whom on the panel had quit because they were overwhelmed. And they asked the public defenders, did anybody went to jail unjustifiably? Did they think that anybody went to jail who was innocent? And you know, and what was shocking to me is that all of them, not one of them, not three of them, all of them raised their hands. All of them. They all raised their hands and they admitted that some people who were innocent probably went to jail because they were so overwhelmed, because the public defender's office was so overwhelmed. If you're talking about 52 lawyers and 22,000 defendants, and you can't even do the math with that. 52 into 22,000. So that's a lot of cases they had to handle. And they only had a few moments, I guess, a piece to handle each one of those cases. And this is not just what's happening in New Orleans. This is happening all across America. And, you know, the Constitution guarantees you a fair trial. But a lot of these inmates, a lot of these people who are charged with crimes are not getting a fair trial. And see, what's happening is that a lot of these people who may be innocent are taking plea bargains. They're taking plea bargains. They're copping to reduce sentences because they feel like there's no way out. So some of these constitutional amendments, you know, you have the right to a fair trial, Miranda, and all these things are not being adhered to. And now you have people, poor people mostly, who are being sent to jail, some who are innocent. And they did have a young man there who was in jail, who had got locked up, and he was innocent. And it was clear on the videotape that the person who was, he was locked up for armed robbery. And it was clear that the person who was committed the crime had on bell-bottom pants. And the pants that they arrested this man in were clenched at the bottom, stretch pants. So it was clear that it wasn't him. But he went to jail anyway because he asked for a public defender. And he did not get a vigorous defense, as the Constitution says he was supposed to get. So it's just absolutely ridiculous. So this is not just happening just in New Orleans, as I said. This is happening all across the United States of America, where people are not getting trials, fair trials. And here's the budget. Here's the public defender, and I'll play it again for you. Those of you who may have just joined the show, here's the public defender, the chief public defender, Derwin Burton, the chief public defender of the New Orleans Public Defender's Office, talking about what's going on. Take a listen.
Well, I think it's terrible. I think it's terrible. I don't think the Sixth Amendment to the Constitution really allows such a thing to happen. And I think it's terrible that we as leaders and as a community cannot see fit to have the resources so that we have a fair and just system, so that people caught in our criminal justice system, people who have been charged with crime, can't go through fairly and justly.
Sixth Amendment, he says. Sixth Amendment. Constitution of the United States of America, which was revised in 1992. And all and what the Sixth Amendment says, the Sixth Amendment guarantees the rights of criminal defendants, including the right to a public trial without unnecessary delay, the right to a lawyer, the right to an impartial jury, and the right to know who your accusers are and the nature of the charges and evidence against you. In all criminal prosecutions, this is according to the United States Constitution, the Sixth Amendment, in all criminal prosecutions, the accused shall enjoy the right to a speedy and public trial by an impartial jury of the state and district wherein the crime shall have been committed, which district shall have been previously ascertained by law, and to be informed of the nature and cause of the accusation. Now, it also says that to have compulsory process for obtaining witnesses in his favor and to have the assistance of counsel for his defense. Doesn't happen. It's not happening. And people who don't have money are going to jail. People who don't have money are going to jail because these public defenders' offices are not being properly funded. They're operating on a shoestring. I mean, 52 lawyers, and 22,000. You can't even, what is it? Let me see what the numbers are. 22,000, 52 lawyers and 22,000 defendants. So you would have to divide 22,000 or 52 into 22,000, which adds up to around 423 cases per attorney. 423, that doesn't even sound right. 423 cases per attorney per year. In New Orleans, which has the highest arrest rate in the United States of America, probably because of Mardi Gras. A third of those people who get arrested probably get arrested during Mardi Gras, which is a big cash cow in New Orleans. So this is what's going on. This is the United States of America. People are making America great again and all of this nonsense. You know, and there are some things that need to be done because people are going to jail who don't belong in jail. Now, of course, there are some people who, you know, dead bang guilty, sure. There are probably quite a few of them. But there are people who are going to prison, people who are innocent, people who have been mistakenly identified, and they're being passed through. So what's happened is a criminal processing, not criminal justice, criminal processing, as Delwyn Burton, who is the chief public defender of the New Orleans Public Defender's Office, as he even said, it's processing. It's not even defending. It's processing. And this is what's going on. But people who don't have money, I'm going to pull up the the story of the young man who spent 3 years. It was the subject of a Jay-Z documentary just recently, where I believe it was on some of the other channels, about this young man who went to prison, Khalif Browder. Very powerful documentary. It was on last month, in February, rather. Khalif Browder. Now, Khalif Browder was in jail for 3 years. He was 22 years old. Now, when Khalif Browder he took his own life at 22 years old. He spent 3 years of his life at Rikers Island. 3 years for allegedly stealing a fellow teenager's backpack. What's this petty crime that's committed in the hallways of suburban high schools all the time, which is punished no stricter than a few days in detention? But Khalif Browder spent 3 years in Rikers Island waiting for trial because he didn't have the $3,000 that it would have cost for him to get out. And now he had never been convicted. and he maintained his own innocence. Now, he spent two-thirds of his time in solitary confinement. That's almost 2 years in solitary confinement. So this kid was so messed up when he got out of jail. Now, he killed himself after he got out. He's only 22 years old, which was a huge injustice. You can Google yourself, Kalief Browder story, K-A-L-I-E-F, Kalief Browder. It was a 6-episode series that was on Spike in February. Very, very sad. You see, this is what's going on with the criminal justice system in this country. If you got enough money to get the dream team, like many rich folk do, and they get off or they get a lesser sentence, so they don't get anything at all. But a poor black boy like Kalief Browder, who didn't have $3,000 and who was never convicted and never even went to court. Never even went to court. And he spent 2 years in solitary confinement because he was young and they didn't want to leave him out with, you know, with the murderers and the gang members and so on and so forth who were there. As a matter of fact, after Kalief Browder's story came out, the state of New York no longer keeps juveniles in protective custody anymore because of Kalief Browder. So Kalief Browder had to die for this to be changed. He had to die. So this is what's happening in our great United States of America, which I do think the United States of America is great, despite some of the problems that, you know, that exist. I still think America is great, but this is a problem. This is a problem because this is a capitalist society here in America. As much as we like to, you know, stroll down Main Street and wave our flags and so on and so forth, but this is a capitalist society that we live in, and it's all about the money. And if you don't have it, you're going to have a problem. Poor Kalief Browder spent 3 years in jail, and he had a public defender that did what? If she had 500 other cases besides his, I mean, how much time does a public defender have to spend on a case when they have 420 cases a year? That's twice the national average, what was going on in New Orleans. Twice the national average. So this is very sad, you know, and this is what, you know, the price you pay for. And there's been no criminal justice reform. And that's why people are screaming for reform, 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 reform. But it's not happening. Because the lawyers, the rich lawyers, want to stay rich. Thank God we have lawyers who work with this Southern Christian Leadership Conference and the ACLU and some of the other lawyers who devoted their lives to some of these innocence projects and so on and so forth, getting people out of jail who were innocent, but they didn't have the money to hire an investigator to gather more evidence. They didn't have the money to pay for the DNA test because DNA tests are very expensive. And so the courts now want you, if you don't have the money to pay for it, guess what? How often do we have to hear about people getting out of prison after being in there for 20 or 30 years? And now they're innocent because the Innocence Project and some of these other law schools, who, you know, law students who go to bat for some of these people. It's ridiculous. So, you know, you can Google like Kalief Browder. You want to read a story about Kalief Browder. All right, we'll take a break and we'll come right back. We're talking about Trump and Kim Jong-un. Now, this is a real thriller in Manila. And what's next? And also, Trump sycophant Jeffrey Lord. I mean, how ridiculous can this one person be? We'll talk about that, too. And all the other stuff that's going on. Steve Stevens, who was caught. I'll tell you what happened about him when we come back in just a few minutes. Anyway, we'll take a quick break. We'll come right back with more. It's the Ron Kelly Show. And it's on blogtalkradio.com and on the AMFM Broadcasting Network.
The Ron Kelly Show. And on the web, theronkellyshow.com.
Snickerdoodle shortbread, fudgy nut bar. How many cheeks? Snickerdoodle shortbread, fudgy nut bar. How many cheeks in the cookie jar? One.
Dad, you're supposed to jump over the rope.
One more time. The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Learn more at 1-877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Oh, no. I'm in charge of our 10-year class reunion and don't know where to begin.
Don't let this happen to you. For your next event, wedding, anniversary, class reunion, or just need to promote your business, Burkett Promotions has you covered.
BurkettPromotions.com.
Over 200 custom-made products USA made, along with personalized imprints and logos.
BurkettPromotions.com.
Burkett Promotions does it all. Big or small, we can fit your budget.
BurkettPromotions.com.
Need your event to stand out with that personalized touch? Pens, pencils, t-shirts? Go to BurkettPromotions.com.
BurkettPromotions.com.
Mention the Ron Kelly Show and receive an additional 10% off an already great prize.
Thanks to Burkett Promotions, my event was a success.
BurkettPromotions.com. B-I-R-K-E-T-T Promotions.com.
BurkettPromotions.com.
A business you can trust. A member of the Better Business Bureau, New Jersey. A-plus rating.
Broadcasting to the world.
Hello.
It's the Ron Kelly Show.
Yeah, yeah.
The news you want.
Is the perception still that a black man with a gun is a criminal?
With the topics you need.
Marching might have been good for back in the day, but what kind of effectiveness is marching have on society today?
Ron Kelly.
Black males 18 to 24 years old have the highest homicide offending rate.
It's the Ron Kelly Show.
So don't get it twisted.
I love golf, and I have some of the greatest golf courses in the world. I own Doral. I own some of the great, one of Turnberry in Scotland would have the British Open. Some of the greatest British Opens in the history of golf. I mean, some of the great, Jack Nicklaus against Tom Watson. They say the duel in the sun, right, folks? The duel in the sun, the greatest tournament ever played was at Turnberry. The duel in the sun, Jack Nicklaus, Tom Watson. So I have the greatest stuff. But you know what? And I love golf. But if I were in the White House, I don't think I'd ever see Turnberry again. I don't think I'd ever see Doral again. I own Doral in Miami. I don't think I'd ever see many of the places that I have. I don't ever think I'd see anything. I just want to stay in the White House and work my ass off, make great deals, right? Who's going to leave? Who's going to leave?
Oh, boy, we are back. It's the Ron Kelly Show, 646-668-2838. That's 646-668-2838. Oh, my God. I mean, the great P.T. Barnum once said that there's a sucker born every minute. In this case, there were about 63 million suckers who may not have been born on November 7th. But prior to that, they certainly drank the Trump Kool-Aid, because Donald Trump has flipped on everything. And we'll get to the North Korea stuff, and we'll get to the Jeffrey Lord nonsense. But Donald Trump has flipped on everything. And the people who voted for him are now, you know, the natives are getting restless. The people who voted for Donald Trump are now getting buyer's remorse. They're getting buyer's remorse, ladies and gentlemen, because he's flipped on everything. China was a currency, was a currency thief or whatever he said. Now they're not. NATO was obsolete. Now it's not. You know, so he's just going back on every, drain the swamp, right? And fill it with your own swamp creatures. I mean, he's just going back on everything that he said. Everything that he said, he's going back on. But this is the time right now where we need to support the president. I know many of you out there think he's not the president. I heard it enough on Twitter and Facebook. Ron Kelly Show. And Facebook, The Ron Kelly Show. I've heard enough. People saying LinkedIn. Shout out to my people on LinkedIn. And they're saying that Trump is not the president. Well, Trump is the president. Okay, you can question all you want on how he got there. But he's the president. And that's the end of that. So I think that right now, I mean, I'll do my best, but right now with this North Korea thing looming, North Korea and United States of America with this thing looming. This is very dangerous time right now in the world. Very dangerous. Because what's going to happen, and you know that this Kim Jong-un is a lunatic. He's a maniac. You know, he's alleged to be 33 years old. Nobody knows how old he is. He looks relatively young from the clips that you see of him on state-run Korean television. But he seems to be, you know, he's like the, you know, what he's doing is like shooting spitballs at a battleship when you compare the might of the United States of America to North Korea, which barely has enough of anything, where German Shepherd is a delicacy in North Korea. And if you look at the overhead satellite view of North Korea, it's at night, it's very, very dark. That's how those people live. But they live in, it's a communist country, and Kim Jong-un is the leader. His father, Jong-il, was the leader. And then whoever was before him, the grandfather. So that's how it goes. You know, and I can't believe that, you know, that there are not people there, some people who are older than Kim Jong-un, who is current leader of the Republic of North Korea, who are not, you know, they probably want to say something, but they don't want to die like Kim Jong-un's brother did in Malaysia. So they're like, well, you know what? But I'm sure that there are people over there who really don't want to die, who don't want the United States of America to drop holy hell on that country. Because that's exactly what's going to happen. You see, but now, see, you have your Trump supporters, your Trump sycophants. I'll go to Jeffrey Lord in just a few minutes and the other nonsense. And you have a lot of these people who are, you know, warmongering right now. A lot of the Trump people warmongering. Trump, drop the bomb, build the wall. You know, you see that? Nobody talking about that wall right now. That wall is not being talked about right now. I believe they asked Sean Spicer the other day about the wall, and he said, oh, it's being put out for bid. That wall is not going up. The wall is not going up. I can tell you that right now. It's July. It's April 18th, 2017, 3:29 and so many seconds p.m. You mark my words, that wall is not going up. Anyway, you have the Trump supporters who are saber-rattling right along with him, but they don't understand what would happen if the United States attacked North Korea. Because first of all, you have to take the whole country out in one shot before they even realize what happened. And that's probably not possible. You know, you have to see, but you have to understand is North Korea has a million people in its army, a million. Now, if you think 1 second that 30,000 United States troops in the demilitarized zone are going to be able to stop a million armed soldiers, it's not going to happen. You see, so the United States Army will be overrun by the Korean Army long before anybody could even get there. Because you know what's going to happen. North Korea is going to cross the demilitarized zone and go right into South Korea and destroy everything. That's what's going to happen. But see, so and it seems like Vice President Pence, who was interviewed on CNN the other day, yesterday, he's hanging his hopes on China. Now, China is not going to be, you know, okay, they sent back a couple of coal ships. But China is not going to be so cooperative. I mean, Trump had a nice visit with President Xi of China. Yeah, they had a nice little, you know, down in Mar-a-Lago, and probably shot a few games of golf and had a little chit-chat conversation. But China is not going to be so willing to help. So China is like between a rock and a hard place right now. They're not going to be so willing to help. And see, and what China doesn't want what China doesn't want. If war does break out between North Korea and South Korea, there may one day be a unified Korea. So if war, let's say war breaks out and the United States defeats North Korea, which it will, and there's, you know, minimal damage to South Korea, they may be, and if they take out the Uns, or the Kims, I should say, because Kim, the first name is the last name in Asia, and Un is the first name. It's backwards, like his thought process is backwards, if he thinks he's going to beat the United States of America. So what will happen if the United States does defeat North Korea and there's minimal damage to South Korea, there'll be one Korea. They may wind up being one Korea with an American-backed leader. And see, that's China doesn't want that. Because China will have a unified Korea with an American-backed leader right on its doorstep. So there's some other things that China has to worry about, too. You know, China moved 150,000 troops to their border, but into their country in case America comes, you know, in case Trump sends the army in there to drop bombs. The North Korean people will be running away trying to get somewhere, and that's why China has fortified its border so as not to let the people from North Korea run into their country. So there's a lot to think about here. So all you Trump supporters who are chomping at the bit and drop that bomb, lock her up and build that wall and all of this nonsense, you have to understand that there's a lot to consider here. There's a whole lot to consider. So the Trumps, Melania and Little Baron included, hosted the Easter egg drop, Easter egg roll yesterday. And Trump signs, a kid comes up to Trump. He's walking through the crowd, him and his Melania, who's absolutely gorgeous. I'm jealous. And but he's 70, so how much could he be doing with her? Anyway, so he walks through the crowd, and a kid hands him a hat. One of those Make America Great, Made in China hats. He hands it to Trump to sign. So Trump signs the hat and then tosses the poor kid's hat into the audience. I mean, how cruel was that? How cruel was that? But again, I just did say that we needed to support the president. And, you know, this may be one of those times like when 9/11 came along and we all had to band together. 9/11, there were no whites, no blacks, no Republicans, no Democrats. When, you know, it's a shame that it takes a massive disaster to bring Americans together. But this is what happens. This is what happens. When the Japanese attacked Pearl Harbor, all Americans came together. You put the Japs in internment camps, Japanese people rather, in internment camps. I can't believe I just said that. So it's a shame that, you know, we have this fight, this backbiting and fighting and the nonsense going on in Washington. We can't come together unless somebody blows us up. Like what happened with the Twin Towers. They were destroyed by, some people say, Saudi Arabia. So this is, you know, this is a shame. It's too bad. But you know, all you Trump people out there who are, you know, who are marching through the hills with torches like they did when they in the movie in Frankenstein, one of the earlier movies, when they ran through, they walked, you know, looking for Frankenstein, they were walking through the woods with torches. Well, the Trump supporters are walking through the woods with torches right now, looking for something to happen. Let's fight and let's do this. You better be careful with that, because there's major repercussions. And Trump, like he did with Syria, dropped the bombs on Syria and then put the mother of all bombs. They cost $1 million a piece, somewhere around there, on Afghanistan. See, you can't do that to North Korea. Can't do it because there's too many other things that can happen. Now, if North Korea was sitting somewhere by itself, you know, it'd be easy just to blow it up out of the, you know, off the planet. But North Korea is next to China, and it occupies half of the peninsula, half the Korean peninsula. South Korea, our ally, is on the other side. So this is not going to be just some, you know, let's just blow them up, bomb the shit out of them, like Trump said in one of his campaign rallies. He was candidate Trump. See, it's a different story now. And Trump has backed away from all of the things he said he was going to do. So he's blown it with Obamacare. They're still talking about getting back to that. Who God only knows. And they just won't let up. But I'll tell you what, we're going to, in a couple of minutes, we're going to take a break and we'll come back. And we will talk about Jeffrey Lord in an interview on MSNBC. Just, I mean, it, you know, the beat just goes on and on and on. The beat just goes on. Well, hopefully we won't have some national disaster to bring us all together once again. Hopefully there'll be, you know, we can work this thing out with North Korea, which Donald Trump did say that he'd be willing to talk to Kim Jong-un. He did say that. I heard him, which I thought was pretty smart, because President Obama tried the same thing. He just never did it. And does President Obama, I may put a poll up on my Twitter. I'll put a poll up on there. Does President Obama seem weak now that Trump is in office, if you compare the two? After the show, I'll put a poll up on my Twitter, Ron Kelly Show, and you can go there and you can take part in my poll. Okay, and hopefully soon, we'll have a big announcement for you guys. Soon, hopefully, once I hear back from AMFM Broadcasting Network, I have a big announcement for you. I'll keep it to myself for right now, but we'll have something to share with you. It'll be a lot easier to access the Ron Kelly Show. And we may have to drop some of these broadcasters. Oh, boy. Anyway, shout out to Howard Stern and Bobo, who happened to prank my show a couple weeks ago. I mean, I was annoyed, but since I found out I was Howard Stern, I'm not that annoyed. So millions of people heard that piece that they played with Bobo pranking me. All right. Anyway, what we do is we'll take a quick break. And we'll come back. We'll talk about Jeffrey Lord and some of the other Trump nonsense when we come back. This is the Ron Kelly Show. This is the Ron Kelly Show. And it's on Blog Talk Radio. It's the Ron Kelly Show. It's the Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com.
We'll be back with more of the Ron Kelly Show after this.
Hi, I'm Lisa Edelstein. Every day on set, I help my fictional doctors save the lives of imaginary patients in the TV series House. Every day in his village in Ethiopia, Barasa Ware helps save the lives of real children as a local health worker. Like many children in the developing world, the ones in Barasa's village are threatened by common illnesses that kill millions worldwide. But unlike villages without a local health worker, the children of Barasa's village get the care they need to survive. Imagine how many more children could be saved with your help. When you help local health workers like Barasa, you help children survive all over the world. See where the good goes at goodgoes.org and find out all the ways you can help the good go further. Brought to you by Save the Children and the Ad Council.
The views expressed in this commentary are not necessarily those of the Ron Kelly Show or R. Kelly Media LLC. Your bathroom break is over.
Here we go!
Welcome back. Welcome.
Really?
Now I can know what I plan to do this morning.
To the Ron Kelly Show. And on the web, theronkellyshow.com.
All righty then. Yes, indeed. It's the Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com. Tuesdays, 3 p.m., right here on blogtalkradio.com and on the AMFM Broadcasting Network. Glad to have you guys here. You can check me out on Facebook, it's the Ron Kelly Show. Follow the show on Twitter, it's Ron Kelly Show as well. And on Instagram, it's Radio Man 2. We got, and as I said earlier in the program, we had nearly 800 likes for the show promo from last week. So appreciate you guys indulging in the Ron Kelly Show nonsense. It's about 20 minutes before the hour. Most of you are still in your offices. I don't think many people are on the work right now, but I'm going to have a surprise for you very soon once I hear back from the AMF and Broadcasting Network. And we're going to get this thing popping. You have a much easier way to access the Ron Kelly Show. And I'm not talking about some personal app or anything like that. This is something big. So we'll keep you informed. I don't want to let it out of the bag right now, but once I get to the go-ahead, we'll let you know what's going on. Okay. So Jeffrey Lord is on an interview. Jeffrey Lord is a Trump. I can't even describe this man. Because some people, you know, what you got to understand, these are the same people, right? These are the same people who for the hills when he talked about Mexicans and grabbing the private parts of women and all the other just outrageous things that he's said and done over the course of his run for president. And see, these are the people who never expected him to win. But now that he's won, you know, these are the same people who ran to Trump Tower during the transition process, who ran to Trump Tower and kissed the ring of Donald Trump, or President-elect Trump, just the way Mitt Romney did, and just a total embarrassment, Mitt Romney. He should just, you know, just, just a total embarrassment. After he went on primetime television and railed against President candidate Trump at the time, railed against him, called him all kinds of names, a shyster, a charlatan, a bumbling idiot. I mean, so many things that Mitt Romney called the president, and then went crawling to him when he thought he was going to get the Secretary of State job, which he was never even being thought about for any job. But he ran, he crawled, and Donald Trump played him like a violin. Played him. Because Donald Trump, President-elect Trump, had no intention of using Mitt Romney for anything but just to parade him around like an idiot, which he did, and he did a very good job of it. So, and Mitt Romney was never seriously being considered for anything. That was just Trump's way of getting back at him. Now, that's one thing I can say about the president. He's good at getting back at people. He's the master of payback disaster, Donald Trump. Okay, so Jeffrey Lord, who is a Trump sycophant, a Trump fanatic, I should say, is on MSNBC. And he's being asked about the Trump, you know, the Trump nonsense that's been going on, the Obamacare blunder, so many other things. Now, here's a couple minutes of the interview on I believe this was Joy Reid, AM Joy. And I believe it was AM Joy. Here's how this interview. Let me just play a piece and get you caught up on what actually happened. Listen to this.
Nelson, it's sad. The president sees millions of people that are benefiting from health insurance that are on the ACA, and he sees bargaining chips. He doesn't see lives. He doesn't see that he is putting people in danger. The fact of the matter is, this is a wildly popular piece of legislation that has only gotten popular with the Republicans' attempt to repeal. And so now Democrats are saying, look, we know Obamacare has some issues, and we're willing to work with you to fix those issues. But the administration has yet to come to the table on that.
Hold on. I just want to challenge what you're saying. How do you know that the president sees these people as bargaining chips? This is how he does it. He says something generally inflammatory, or at least that gets a lot of people's attention, and this certainly got Chuck Schumer's attention, and then he backs off it. So, Simone, I mean, why do you think that this is what we actually would see?
We don't know. I think we've seen a president, Donald Trump, who, you know, says one thing, does another. We don't know what the president would do. All we can go off of is what he is saying. And currently what he's saying is, look, if you don't give me what I want, I'm withholding stuff from everybody, and that is going to actually hurt people. I don't think we can use this inflammatory rhetoric, Allison, when we're dealing with people's lives. Mm-hmm. People with really serious illnesses, from cancer on down the line. So I think we need to just step back, and the president should take a more humane tone and course of action when talking about this issue.
Jeffrey, what about that? That it
Allison?
Does scare people when they hear it. Even if it is just a negotiating tactic, it scares people.
Allison, I want to say something here that I know will probably drive Simone crazy, but think of President Trump as the Martin Luther King of healthcare. When I was a kid, President
Jeffrey.
Kennedy did not want to introduce the civil rights bill because he said it wasn't popular, he didn't have the votes for it, et cetera. Dr. King kept putting people in the streets in harm's way to put the pressure on so that
okay.
the bill would be introduced. That's what
Jeffrey,
finally
you do
worked.
Understand that, you do understand that Dr. King was marching for civil rights because people that looked like me were being beaten. Dogs were being sicked on them. Basic human rights were being withheld from these people merely because of the color of their skin. So let's not equate Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., a humanitarian, a Nobel Peace Prize winner, to the vagina-grabbing President Donald Trump.
Oh, boy.
Simone.
Jeffrey,
Simone,
you
President
did
Kennedy
introduce
did not
this.
Want to introduce
you went there.
Dr. King pressured him to
no,
do that.
There is no similarity.
Right.
What Donald Trump is doing is he's in over his head. He doesn't understand that healthcare is a complicated issue. He just arrived here. Thank you. Most of us have been here, and he doesn't understand that these are people's lives. So
well,
again, I implore the president to take a humane approach.
Oh my goodness! Martin Luther King. What Jeffrey Lord is saying is that, and Jeffrey Lord was a an aide for somebody. He was associate political director under Reagan. That's who Jeffrey Lord was. He's a political commentator, author, and political strategist in PA. And that was Simone Sanders who ripped him a new one for saying that did Martin Luther King put people in harm's way. I mean, oh man! And see, what they were talking about was recently President Trump threatened to withhold the Obamacare subsidies, and which would have sank Obamacare in many states, and it would have forced the Democrats to strike a deal for fixing health care. There was an interview in the Oval Office, and Trump signaled that he might consider withholding payments to insurers. Now, Obama pushed for the payments to insurance companies to stabilize the exchanges, even though the conservatives say that the insurance handouts are unconstitutional. Now, the absence of health care subsidies could cause the collapse of Obamacare, forcing lawmakers on both sides of the aisle to strike a deal. So Trump, in his zeal, is even willing – he's willing to throw millions of people under the bus because the Obamacare subsidies reduce the co-payments and deductibles for health insurers so they can lower the cost associated with low-income Obamacare recipients. So Trump threatened to withhold the Obamacare subsidies, which would have drove the premiums up to the point where people could not have paid them and they would have lost their health. So, you know, this is something that it's unbelievable because this is what Trump does. You know, he's probably been threatening people his whole adult life, threatening banks. He threatened the banks and said, well, if you give me the money and, you know, you loan me money to make the money back I owe you, or I'll just file for bankruptcy and you lose everything. So what are the banks going to do? Because the banks had billions of dollars invested in Trump, millions and billions of dollars invested in Trump properties, Trump Taj Mahal and Trump Plaza and Atlantic City and all the other things that with Trump's name on it. So what else were they going to do? So and that's probably what he did. He threatened the banks and said, "Hey, well, all right, don't give me any money. I'll just file bankruptcy and you'll lose everything you gave me. Or you can give me some money and help me make it back." What are they going to do? So he threatens to pull the plug on Obamacare by withholding all the subsidies, which keep the price of the ACA down. Like, this is what Trump does. And that's what they were discussing when Jeffrey Lord comes out and says that Trump is the Martin Luther King of healthcare. The Martin Luther King of healthcare. Now, if that isn't an insult to the memory of the great Dr. Martin Luther King, I don't know what is. That was a total insult. And to say, and to go on and say, that was Simone Sanders, by the way, who was who jumped on Jeffrey Lord, Simone Sanders, who was an NBC contributor. For him to go on and say, after he desecrated the name of the great Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., he goes on to say that Dr. Martin Luther King put people in harm's way to get the Civil Rights Act passed. Dr. Martin Luther King, Jeffrey Lord, put himself in harm's way. That's why somebody put a bullet in his head on the balcony of that motel in 1968. Almost 50 years ago. So he put himself in harm's way. So for you to contend that Dr. Martin Luther King purposely put people in harm's way, purposely put people out there to get ripped apart by dogs, beaten with police batons, and sprayed with high pressure water hoses, it's just completely ridiculous. How dare you say something like that? Oh my God. But people have just gone brain dead with this Trump talk. They've gone brain dead. They've actually gone brain dead. It's ridiculous. Let me play this clip. Hannity and Ted Koppel. Used to be the host of Nightline. Here's Hannity and Koppel. Here's Hannity walking into this comment by Ted Koppel.
Think we're bad for America? You think I'm bad for America?
Yeah.
You do?
In the long haul, I think you and all these opinion
shows—that's sad, Ted.
No, you know why?
That's sad.
Because you're very good at what you do, and because you have attracted a significantly more influential.
Well,
let me finish the sentence. Let me finish the sentence before you do that.
With all due respect.
You have attracted people who are determined that ideology is more important than facts.
Think we're bad for America? You think I'm bad for America?
Yeah.
You do.
In the long haul.
Exactly. Ideology is more important than facts. Exactly. Ted Koppel couldn't have said it any better. Ideology is more important than facts when it comes to Trump supporters. Is ideology. So the facts don't matter. See, the facts are fake news. That's what the facts are, fake. Now they're saying faux. Somebody must have told Sean Spicer, I was watching a piece of Sean Spicer, I'll probably play it next week. I should have had it today. Sean Spicer, when he was asked about President Trump's taxes, he said the same thing. There's a audit going on. The IRS has come out and said, no. Even if there was an audit, you can still release your taxes. Now, I agree. Now, I tweeted that Trump's taxes and the White House visitor logs wasn't really that important at the moment. And you know, and I do agree with that. But when he was asked in the interview in the briefing room yesterday afternoon, Sean Spicer was asked about it. He said, "Oh, well, there's an audit going on." And I'm like, they're just rehashing the same old lie. It's the same lie. I see people have virtually gone brain dead with this Trumpisms. You know, we used to have Yogiisms, and Yogi, you know, recently passed away. Yogiisms, and Yogi would say stuff that was, you know, just make you think twice after you read it. But it was funny. But with Donald Trump, this stuff is not funny. And these people are reiterating the same, rehashing the same nonsense. So you have Sean Spicer. Somebody must have told Sean Spicer, look, don't say fake anymore. Sean, don't use the word fake. Use the word faux. Because I guess fake, you know, the word fake was getting worn out by the Trump administration and the Trump syncopants, Fox News and Breitbart, and his fool Kurt Schilling, who goes on the internet because nobody wants him. He's not doing any better than I am. And somebody does want me. Anyway, so, you know, you have people regurgitating the same nonsense. It's ridiculous. So, you know, pray for peace. That's what I'm willing to say, everybody. Pray for peace. Got a couple minutes left of the program. Pray that nothing happens over there. If something happens over there, it's going to happen over here. And, you know, and suffice to say that they do have to do something about North Korea. They can't just let them go ahead and keep threatening us. See, because a lot of people were, many folks were relieved that that missile test didn't come off the way it was supposed to the other day. Lots of people were relieved. You see, but what's going to happen, though, with North Korea is going to learn from that. They're going to learn why that missile didn't, why it exploded on the launch pad. They're going to learn why. And once they do, they're going to go back to the drawing board and make another one. So something has to be done about North Korea. Absolutely. But it's about how it's what can be done and how it's going to be done. So we're not out of the woods yet. You know. So like them, hate them, Trump, whatever, you got to depend on them right now. Hillary fan or whoever, fan of whoever, you got to depend on Trump now. Because he's the president and the whole world is in his hands. So hopefully he's done what he did with the Trump organization and surrounded himself with smart people who are smarter than he is, who could give him the right advice. Because going to North Korea is going to be a big, big problem. So you listen to some of these other conservative talk radio people who want to, you know, who are warmongering and What? Let's go in there and do something. You know, the stuff that Trump ran on. it's different. You know, you can't do that. Just has to be strategic, and it has to, you know, whatever they do, it has to work the first time with minimum casualties. Because if Trump does decide to attack North Korea, there's going to be a war. And Trump, and even though the United States will defeat North Korea, North Korea is not going to go easily. And there will be some casualties. Okay, so enough about that. We'll see you back here next week for another edition of the Ron Kelly Show, another great edition of the Ron Kelly Show. So until then, everybody, take care of yourself. And most importantly, let's all be safe out there. See you next week.